Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Now, for years, the news about bees has centered on dying bee colonies. The bees are in trouble. Danielle Bender, a South Florida resident, wants to do something about that, and she wants to recruit you to help. And if you're afraid of bees, don't worry. She was two before she started working on her project. Now, she recently won a grant from the Miami Public Spaces Challenge to expand beehives around the county. And if you're afraid of bees, she'll be happy to give you a tour of her hives, and she'll help you overcome any fears that you may have. I spoke to her recently about this project and what she hopes to accomplish. Something happened to your beehives right before Hurricane Irma that you noticed. What was going on?
Just a crazy amount of activity. It was almost like, well, not almost like, they definitely understood that something was coming. They are able to pick up on the weather, and I just noticed a ton of activity, and I was wondering, oh man, are they gonna get ready to leave, or are they gonna be able to make it through this hurricane? And when I went to go check on my boxes afterwards, I was shocked and really excited to see that they didn't, you know, they received no damage. They weren't turned over. They didn't blow away. And when I opened them up, they were doing all of the things that I had been waiting for them to do. They had started capping all their honey. It was just like the box was bursting full of bees. So,
can you explain what is it, from what you understand about bees' behavior, that they understand something's coming and they thus prepare for it?
Yeah. I have to be completely honest. I have no clue. It totally shocked me. Like I've told you, I'm still learning about this whole process. So this was a first hurricane trial for me as a beekeeper. And now that I know what to expect, I guess I should be ready to harvest honey after every hurricane, maybe.
Earlier this year, you won the Miami Public Spaces Challenge. And it was for these beehives. Basically, now you're receiving what is essentially a grant to bring beehives to public spaces in Miami.
Yes.
Let's start with this, though. When you came up with this idea, you were terrified of bees.
Yeah, I'm not a big insect person, which is really funny that now I'm doing beekeeping. But yeah, I think most people are pretty scared of bees. When you think of bees, you think of My Girl and
the movie.
Yeah, it's just...
And in it, there was a scene.
Yeah, where he gets just stung and then ends up, you know, dying. So that is what I thought, and that's what a lot of people think. And it took a lot for me to even come up with this idea in a way that didn't feed into my own fears.
So all of a sudden your mindset jumps onto this question of what's happening to bees, and now you're thinking about what you could do to help?
Yeah, I'm thinking about what I can do to help, but then also realizing that I think there's a moment of imposter syndrome where I'm sort of like, well, how can I be doing all of this if I'm scared of them and I haven't even touched a beehive? I like see a bee in my backyard and freak out and run away. So I guess like imposter syndrome kicked in. I was like, well, I guess if this is actually of interest to people, I guess I need to learn a little bit about this and get hands on.
Okay. It's one thing to say you want to learn something about it, but you still got to overcome that fear.
Yeah.
How
totally.
Did you do that?
Extensively looking up videos and understanding why bees do certain things the way they do. I think that if you just do a surface level scratch, all you're going to read is like, angry, attack. But if you go a little bit deeper and you realize, like, bees don't like when you're wearing all black, they don't respond well when you're wearing perfume. If you run and swat and act frantic, they're gonna come and chase after you.
All right, but now you have to actually get out there and be with the bees. So when was that first time and what was that like?
I was introduced to a beekeeper named Bianca Pretorius, who's also an artist, and she does backyard beekeeping and has a couple of hives. And so she allowed me to come and watch her observe her hives. And that changed a lot for me, because if I had started this on my own and just gone and gotten a hive, there would have been so much that I would have been freaking out about, not even safety wise, but like, what are they doing? Why is this happening? And being able to stand behind someone that knew what they were doing.
Take me to that first time, though.
Okay.
The very first time you walk out there,
okay,
what happened?
The very first time, She opened up one of her hives, which is almost as tall as me and has several layers. And just seeing a frame completely packed to the point where you can't even see the wood, just the bees are sitting there. And I don't know, there was no part of me that felt nervous or scared because I realized they weren't coming towards me. They were just chilling and, you know, sitting on their frame. And she had mentioned, and I had also read it before, that there's a tool called the smoker, and you smoke the bee box, and it sort of neutralizes an alarm pheromone that they send out, where they're basically like telling the whole hive, like, panic, panic, why is this person opening this up? It sort of, you know, snuffs that, and then they go straight into, like, you know, this is one thing I like to say, sorry to, you know, jump ahead, but when I do have people that come to my hive, especially kids, the first thing I tell them is, you know, what's the first thing you would do if your house was on fire and you couldn't put the fire out? You'd go grab your favorite toy or your dog. You're going to grab the thing that's most important to you. So the bees are also doing that. They're smelling the smoke and they're like, uh-oh, guess we got to go grab some of our honey. So it becomes a thing where they're no longer really interested in you.
But do you remember the first time a bee landed on you, or a couple of them, maybe a bunch of them?
I think, yeah. I mean, that was actually the second time I went to Bianca's. She asked if I wanted to hold the frame while she was doing some manipulation. I can't remember specifically what. And the bees, from me holding the frame, just went and probably like 100, it felt like, just went on my gloved hand while I was holding the frame. And I had a tiny moment where I was thinking, oh, my God, what are they doing? Are they going to sting me? Are they going crazy? And then I realized nothing's happening. I'm just like another landing strip for them right now. So
now all of a sudden you're working on beehives. You've overcome this fear. And when did you come up with the idea that this could be in public spaces and it would be beneficial to the community and to us? How?
Yeah, well, I came up with the idea of them being in public spaces before I even touched a beehive or even thought about this Miami Public Space Challenge or Miami Foundation Public Space Challenge being a success for my project. So I proposed the project just sort of like, you know, I work for an artist-run space and we always are taking on strange proposals that utilize public space in different ways. So I thought, yeah, you know, why not? And then once, like I mentioned before, once I saw that people were commenting, I was like, oh, I guess this is actually maybe going to happen. I probably should start beekeeping.
So you have this grant, and the first part of it is just to get a couple of them set up.
Yes.
What's the plan? Where do you want to put them?
Well, right now we're looking at several different locations. I'm hesitant to mention all of them because we haven't 100% secured permissions. We're working to make sure they're 100% okay to be there. But the neighborhoods that we're looking at right now, we already have one in Little River. Those are my personal hives, but I completely open them up to the public and have people, different people come to visit them every single weekend with me. And then the other three locations we're looking at is Gladeview, another one off of Opa-locka, and then another one in Kendall. So I'm trying to make sure that they're not just like at the downtown core center. I want to make sure they're a little spread out.
And again, that's Danielle Bender. She is a South Florida resident who recently won the Miami Public Spaces Challenge. She wants to put public beehives around the county. And by the way, if you're afraid of bees, she welcomes you to come out and spend some time with her and her beehives. And she'll teach you more about them and she'll help you overcome any fears you may have. We'll have a link, by the way, on our website later today. Well, that's the program for Monday, October 9th. Sundial is produced by Maeve McGoran and Polly Landis. Our engagement editor is Katie Lepre. Teresa Frontado is our digital director. Our news director is Terrence Shepard. Alicia Zuckerman is our editorial director. WLRN's program director is Peter Meritz. He was also pushing all the buttons today. Our theme music is by the Miami Afro-Cuban funk band Palo at gopalo.com. And again, we'll have a link to today's program later today on WLRN.org. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Luis Hernandez. Talk to you tomorrow.